Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Boom. Previously on Minority Corner.
I talked about Kids for Cash.
You did. Skanky ass judges doing skanky ass shady shit.
Shady, shady ass shit.
VMAs happened.
Speaking of shady shit.
That was shady shit all over the place. Empire happened and Cookie wants you to eat her cookies.
Nom nom nom.
Steve Amos.
Shady ass shit with his dick. Put it back in your pants, Steve.
Apparently the women of color, they had a meeting.
They don't want your dick.
Put it back.
Gavel down. Put your dick away.
Not needed. But Raising Dion, new comic book series is
amazing.
Coming out. I haven't looked at it, but.
We'll get around to it. At some point.
Well, let's get to the corner.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're on, girl. It's showtime.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the socks.
What's they don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so we have socks over our mics, and it looks like a ball sack. A heel.
Looks like a condom on a dick. Anyways, hi. Happy Minority Corner.
Happy Minority Corner, James.
13. Oh, ooh, we're a teenager.
I just got my period.
Okay. I just learned how to masturbate.
Yes!
Yay! I feel awkward.
It's
and
okay.
I have braces. Mm. Acne's a bitch. And my parents don't understand me.
They don't get me. Shut up, Mom. I'm gonna close the door.
I'm gonna say fuck a bunch.
Don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm scared. Don't
why?
Do that.
Okay,
I don't know.
Well, fine.
I
okay.
can't even
do it. It's our teenage dream episode.
Teen dream.
Who was your teenage heartthrob when you were a kid?
When I was a teenager?
Yeah.
I was
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Hell no.
Okay.
He looked
all the
too...
girls were all obsessed with
JTT. I know,
JTT.
And I was always like, is he gay? It's all about Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay. I would say, mm-hmm. Oh, well,
and
you and I are brother sisters again, or husband wife.
Huh? Who, us?
Yes.
What?
Because I was obsessed with Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What?
And they're still married.
They just celebrated their anniversary.
Unlike Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
They broke up hell a long time ago.
And all four of them were killing people in the summertime.
Was that I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah.
With Love Hewitt?
With J-Lo. Did anybody?
J-Lo would be pissed if you confused her with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I get
she
them confused all the time.
You gotta remember Love from Party of Five.
And she was also in Sister Act 2, which I recently watched.
She was?
Jennifer Love Hewitt was in Sister Act 2
with
Lauryn
Hill.
Lauryn Hill? Yes.
So they probably hung out together?
Where the fuck would that movie have been if Lauryn Hill wasn't in it?
Just on the ground.
It would like she was amazing in that movie.
It would have been doo-doo trash.
I've been watching clips of Sister Act 2.
That's good.
Do you want to know why?
Why? Tell me.
I booked a...
this is a smooth transition.
From Sister... I'm good. I'll just slip it in there. Build up Sister Act 2. Mm-hmm. For research. I had to watch it.
Why? What did you get booked?
Choreographing a musical... Uh-huh. A music video.
With nuns?
Close.
Oh!
Sort of. There's choir people in it.
Yes! I remember this!
So I booked this gig for Salesforce Dreamforce. Like, in San Francisco, there's no work in, like, actual film work.
Mm-mm.
But industrials and commercials and, like, corporate stuff.
Right.
Hella money.
And, like, good...
There's a lot, yeah.
Like, your name gets out there.
Well, and, like, that's the big film directors around here. Like, yeah I worked on that Twitter industrial. Like, that's their big thing. They're like, oh, Joe Johnson. Oh, he's good.
Oh.
They're like, oh, we've got Alicia on board for this project.
Well,
man, can she look up for that computer screen and say, what's up with this? So do you want to hear the crazy, even in like this low world, we're not even Hollywood, racial bullshit at the casting table.
Oh my God, tell me. This is beautiful. You like got into it.
It's fucked up.
We've been talking about this for years.
The industry is fucked up and I experienced it. At the table of casting.
So you're sitting there with the other casting directors.
So the whole entire piece is that Dreamforce wants to do this thing that they're... I'll never work for them again,
what
apparently.
What is this?
Dreamforce is like this huge... Salesforce is this huge sort of app company. They like
okay.
All these companies use Salesforce for...
I know, everybody uses it, but I have no idea what it is.
And it's creepy.
It's they fucking own Skynet.
Hella, it is. They own hella buildings around the city.
Yeah.
Like, we were filming at one of the Salesforce buildings,
mm-hmm.
and it looked... They had, like, this, like, this... What are those, like, those pop-up... It's like a 3D thing of, like, a city. What? Like, you know, like a building structure, like a
diorama.
A diorama.
Diorama.
Somebody built a diorama. Diaphragm.
Bangarang, Rufio.
Is that a Pan reference? Rufio.
Yes.
What was I talking? Salesforce.
Diorama.
They're taking over the city.
Oh God, really?
Yes, they had like eight. They had flags on all the different buildings that were theirs. God. These giant skyscrapers. So, anyways,
this is ridiculous.
So I got booked to be the choreographer for this music video,
which is awesome.
For my friend Brian Benson, he's Cousin Wonderlet. I want to get him on the show. He is a producer, and he just filmed a documentary about Doris Huerta.
Huerta, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dolores.
Mm-hmm. Well, you knew what I was talking about.
I did.
I call her, we go way back. I call her Doris. Too. I'm like, Dory. Girl, love you. Love you, hate you. That's what one of the choir members in the shoot said to me. This is going way off track.
What is happening?
So,
yes.
So Brian Benson, Cousin Wonderlet, he owns his own production company, and he booked me to do this before he knew what they wanted.
Yeah.
So then he was like, oh, well, what they're really looking for, it was like, they're like praise breaking is a thing that happens in black churches when they just go really wild and crazy dancing.
People love this aspect of black church, and that's the only aspect that they show of black church.
So that's what they want for their thing is this app. Like, so all these executives.
This is already problematic.
God, I'm complicit in my own oppression. It's so terrible.
Well, you gotta get paid, so I can't hate on you.
The daily rate was insane. He was like, "What? How much would?" I'm not gonna tell you the figure, but
yeah, but it was
because I said one number, and he was like, first of all, that's way too low. We're gonna start you off with this."
Yes.
And for 5 days of work, amazing,
lucrative.
Yes. So they wanted this praise breaking thing. I grew up in the Baptist church, so okay, I kind of know it.
No, but
then I read the script, and it's just like. It's these executives, and they're like, one is supposed to be Paul, and he's like the executive guy.
Mm-hmm. White guy?
That one didn't say specifically.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is casting.
The casting.
Okay.
Okay. And then there was another character, and her name, it was Joan. It said white woman.
They say white woman?
It says white woman. Oh my God. And then it was like Dan, big guy, but knows how to move.
Black guy.
Well, no, actually, but I mean, didn't say. I tried to bring in my friend Queen, who's like this. He's just too young, but he's a big guy and he can fucking move.
All right.
So, but we ended up casting three white people for the executives, and I had to push for the sale. There's a sales team. I had to push for minorities to.
You had to push for it.
Because even with background extras and stuff too, I was like, I was bringing a lot of people to audition.
Well,
I was bringing a lot of people, a diverse group.
I know. I saw you texted me.
I tried to bring you in.
Awesome.
My mom's actually going to be an extra on the
show. Oh, good.
Yeah. So it was cool to be able to bring a lot of like people involved and give them like some work and opportunity. But then like Brian was not, he's a producer guy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's at this casting table with us, but he's not paying attention to what's really happening because he's already focusing on three other projects.
Oh my Lord.
And then by casting was done, he was like, wait a minute, how did this happen? Our entire executive team is just three white people.
Well.
And one of the cast members, who's one of my dancers from my dance company.
Yes.
Icon Dance Collective.
Plug.
I have to plug it because this drag queen we performed last night.
Yes.
She didn't. I was like, don't forget to plug us. And she didn't.
She did it.
Fucking anything.
Well, we're plugging it on this show.
So,
Icon.
Thank you, Aneke, for supporting. But even my dancer, she was like, Emily, she was like, I would have gladly given up my spot for a person of color to be involved in this.
What the hell?
I will say, so we didn't move the needle on race, but we did move the needle on gender.
Okay, good.
So Paul got turned into Paulina.
Oh, nice.
Because...
why not Paula?
Okay, well, listen. If you want to be in the writer's room for this... listen, the script was terrible. Anyways. But we did cast a diverse gospel choir.
Okay, good. So it wasn't all just black people.
It's not just like black people coming in and dancing.
Which it always is. So thank you for changing that up.
Yeah. So it was interesting to be on the table. And I said to them, I was like, can we at least put some people of color in the sales rep room? And,
yeah, just sitting
and
there.
And even in the extras, like my friend Danny, I pulled him to be an extra.
Hi, Danny.
People don't realize that with film, it's a lot of sit around and wait.
Oh, yeah. Being an extra is hella boring.
Yeah. So I experienced the shit that happens. I felt bad. I wish I had spoken up and said more of like, listen, we need to put a person of color in the executive team.
Yeah.
But it was my first project and being on the team.
And don't beat yourself up because you want to be getting good. So you can say things like that later on.
But I also, like, you know, I shouldn't have to be the only voice.
Like, what the hell, people? Well, hopefully we're changing minds with this podcast.
Yeah, so listen up, Salesforce. I'm never going to work for them again. They're going to listen to this.
They're going to be like, get that James out of here. Yeah,
we still have one more day of shooting.
When's that, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, today's your break day?
Sort of.
I'm telling you guys, James is pushing the needle.
Thanks for coming to my show yesterday.
I went to his show yesterday, which he then had another show afterwards. And remember, he was filming this whole thing with Salesforce.
For 10 hours.
It was crazy.
And I had like 3 hours of sleep prior to that.
Oh my God.
Can I tell you something that's interesting?
What's that?
I was almost, I almost burst into tears before the show, Temple of Poon, last night. Yeah. I was so tired. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Something happens when the lights come on. Lights, camera, action.
Yeah, you're an actor. Ka-da-da-da. You gotta live off the high of the performance.
And all the caffeine.
Yeah, I know.
It was running. Crack juice. Fucking high. But thanks for coming. Did you enjoy the show?
I enjoyed it so much. Everybody, there's only three more shows left. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, go see it. I brought my fiance, Andrew, and he enjoyed it.
Yes. And I'm sorry. I was actually more excited to see him than I was you.
Because I come to things. I go to shows he doesn't. I get it.
And I've only seen him like three times ever.
I almost wanted to tell him, like, be prepared. James is going to be really excited to see you. But I didn't want to say that. And then you, like, come out and be like, hey, girl. And then, like, go to your friends. So I didn't want to, like, lead him on.
But you knew. I know. You knew. I had to do a double take. I was like, I have damn near pushed you out of the way.
Did you see him when you were on stage?
I didn't even know where you guys were sitting.
Oh, I thought, both of us thought that you looked at us.
Oh, I just pretend to point around.
You didn't point. You, like, literally looked at me dead in the eye and stuck your tongue out at me.
With what character?
I don't know. You play so many characters.
I play a lot of characters.
You had a wig on.
I wear a wig in every scene. Every scene. But now that you've seen the show, we can bring on Darcy Drolinger, who's the director, writer,
and owner of Club Osis. But Darcy, want to come on? I feel like Darcy's, like, too big.
Darcy would love to come on to the show. But I wanted you to make sure you'd seen the show before you were like...
Yeah, so now I could actually say some stuff. Darcy's just like... I'm like, I heard it's great.
Get out of here!
I heard down the grapevine that it was a fabulous show. I was too nervous to talk to Darcy.
I was trying to, like, introduce you, and then you ran away.
I know, because Darcy came out in, like, this glamorous, like, evening gown thing with this beautiful wig and beautiful makeup, and I was just, like, standing there looking like a weirdo. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to scuttle out of here now. Goodbye.
She literally did all of that, and she grabbed Andrew, and there's just a trail of dust. That was it. You. You, like, scuttled, made those noises, scuttled off, and off she was. Darcy's makeup, you mentioned so Darcy Drolinger is the writer, director of Temple of Poon, lead of Temple of Poon. Mm-hmm. Darcy was in Hairspray, the original production.
The original?
On Broadway, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Darcy also owns Club Oasis, mm-hmm. That just opened, huge. It's like the number one club in San Francisco right now. Mm-hmm. You know who taught Darcy how to do her makeup?
Who?
The same person that taught RuPaul how to do her makeup.
What?
Crazy. Yeah.
Nice.
You were at Michael's recently.
I was. I went to Michael's right, like, about an hour ago.
How was that?
What are you doing?
Shopping for wedding things?
I'm in the middle of wedding craft hell. As many women and men, I'm not, you know, whoever you are out there planning a wedding.
The wedding planners. The J-Lo's to the world.
Yes, it's very true. I have my headset on.
Are you J-Lo? Like, do you, like...
Jess?
Wow. Are you waiting for tonight?
I'm waiting for tonight. Whoa.
That's my favorite J-Lo song.
It's my favorite video, too.
That's like, and that song, like how it was ahead of its time. Because that's how the music sounds like today. It's all EDM.
We can actually thank J-Lo for all the EDM movement of right now, too. And pop music, I would say.
We could thank her.
Or we can say no thanks.
I don't know why. It's not that I hate J-Lo. I'm indifferent.
You can take it or leave it.
She could be there or not. I appreciate her. I'm glad she's alive.
I like J-Lo.
Okay. Would you go to a concert? Would you pay for her concert?
No, but if someone gave me the ticket, I would go.
If I gave you tickets.
I would definitely go.
Okay. All right.
I would, if it was $15 on, like, Groupon, Living Social.
If you were on Living Singles. And you and Regine. And Khadijah and Max.
In 90s kind of world.
Can Overton come?
Yes.
And then you guys would go to the jail.
Go home, Overton.
Can the rest of the episode just you be doing just living single impressions?
In a loop. I just sing the theme song. Anyway, so I was at Michael's.
You were at Michael's.
And I saw like the dumbest shit ever.
What'd you see?
It was like, so people DIY. James didn't know what DIY
what
is.
What the fuck is DIY? I still don't know. DCYF? Oh, I know what BBHMM is.
Bitch better have my money.
Bitch better have my money.
DIY is do it yourself.
Who knew? Okay. Show of hands. Oh, wait. I can't see anybody's hands.
Hashtag DIY.
Yeah. Hashtag minority corner DIY. Yes. Let's take a vote. Who knows what DIY is? And explain to the audience what DIY is.
Do it yourself. Okay. It's very easy.
Oh, we have an intern in the room. our intern knew.
Just raise
his hand. Our intern's like a 6-year-old child by the voice of it.
With child labor laws, don't watch us.
For interns, there's no rules. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure, like, you can do anything with an intern.
You just turned into, like, a 1920s sweatshop overlord.
Just call it an intern, and you can do whatever you want. In fact, I'm going to go to the...
I know the trick.
I'm going to the orphanage right after this, and I'm going to pick up three or four
Oliver
interns.
Oliver Twist, turn of the century.
Call them interns, orphanage. And do whatever the fuck you want.
Anyway,
you're at Michael's.
This is going off the rails. But I saw the stupidest bottle weird shit with a, like, it was a bottle with some fucking twine and a patina key tied onto it with a picture frame glued to the top. And cute. They're all like, wedding novelty.
Ooh.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Actually, out loud by myself, I said, the fuck? And then I realized I said it out loud. And then I had to put it away because...
Well, no, you took a picture of it, posted to Facebook about that you said, the fuck? To which I then read your post and then started laughing out loud in a coffee shop and realized I had done the same thing that you did.
Because it's crazy. Because that thing was crazy. You saw the picture.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a secret to tell you.
What's the secret?
I made that.
Then you know DIY. Well, it's been a ruse.
It's been a clever ruse, if you will. Yeah, I DIY all the time. I'm DIYing right now.
DIYing what?
I'm, you know, making some, baskets. A basket podcast.
A podcast basket.
Because when you're podcast.
A basket.
Yes. Because when you're podcasting, sometimes you need to put things in a basket.
Like your voice.
A lot, yes. A lot of you guys don't know what goes on to making a podcast, and you have to put things in a basket sometimes, so.
Let me put that in the basket right now. Yeah. Thanks for making it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you hate my crafts. I, like, slaved all away.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta tell me that you're...
I say the word for slave. I can say it.
No, you can reappropriation.
Okay.
We're owning it.
Fuckers.
Taking it back.
Angry. Never got that mule. Anyways, what were you saying?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Shall we go to the corners?
All right, it's time. All right, see you over there, girl. What if I get lost along the way?
Your heart will lead the way.
Will my heart go on?
My fart will lead the way.
I'm out of here. It smells weird. Speaking of... Yes. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I'm just kidding. No. Speaking of, mm-hmm. My Heart Will Go On.
Rewind.
Well, no, but it's the teen episode. Do you know my first date ever was with Christina Hale?
Oh, hi, Christina. You went out with a gay man.
She made me this way.
Oh,
poor her.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it happens.
I'm better. Sorry, girl. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I love you, but I hate you.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
One of the extras who's part of Glide Choir, mm-hmm. I thought she was going around saying, I love you, I hate you. Like,
what
it's
was
a
she
new
saying?
Thing that the kids say.
Oh.
She's actually just repeating the choreography that I was yelling out to the dancers.
You said, I love you, I hate
it's
you?
It's part of the choreography to help them remember this move where it's like, I love you, I hate you. And
oh,
it's
push
like a
away.
Movement. So I thought she was being sassy with me. I love you, I hate you.
But when she was actually just repeating,
what
she
I
was
saying.
Scared because you scared them. And she was like, I love you. I hate you. I love you. Gotta remember it. James is going to be mad.
And I just glared at her and I was like, just live your life, girl. Live your life. Wait. But speaking of teen things, this mm-hmm. is the teen episode.
Teen episode.
In this segment, I think we should share something from our teenage years.
You first.
Okay. Well, when I was a teen,
yes.
I used to think the network Fox, speaking, you were talking about Living Singles earlier.
Yeah.
I used to think Fox was such like an edgy network.
Yeah, and because it had
lots of black people on it.
Yeah, it had In Living Color. It had Martin. Was Martin on Fox?
Martin was on Fox, yeah.
It had Simpsons.
And there'd be like a new black comedy that would always get canceled within the first season.
But at least they would try
there.
It out.
Yeah.
Why not?
There was
throw
one
on
about
wall,
like
sticks.
There was one about like TV weathermen or something.
What?
I don't even Black Weatherman. That. It was something, I don't know.
That did not last long.
No, it didn't. So, but Fox was like, you know.
It was edgy.
Black people were either on Fox or UPN.
Right.
And so I used to think that it was like the edgy network, and I was like, you know, it was like MTV, but like broadcast. You
yeah,
know?
But you could get it without having cable.
Yes. And so then when Fox News came about, I was like, ooh, yeah, this is going to be the real news. It's going to be edgy. It's going to be fun and sexy.
Oh, how wrong you were.
And I just think it was so cool. And like they had a TV show called Fox and Friends. I was like, that sounds like a great time.
Ooh, I want some friends.
I love it. That sounds fun. And like
friends
boring news, you know?
I know.
And then around 9/11 happened, and my government teacher, and I went to school near the Air Force Base. And so when 9/11 happened, there's only mm-hmm. 3 Air Force bases on the West Coast.
Mm.
And so we were like, you know, it was a very
it was
scary
buckled
time.
Down.
And my government teacher told us that the only news channel we could trust was Fox News.
Mm, the best advice anyone could ever give.
A government teacher telling like 17-year-olds who are just forming their political ideals. So you know what I used to do? I used
no.
to go home and watch hours
Terrible.
And hours of Fox News and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh my
and I
God.
Would listen to him and be like, okay, I guess this is right. This is Fox News and my government teacher, who seems like a cool guy.
Poor
my government teacher, who seemed like a cool guy.
See, this is how... Okay, note to teenagers in rural areas, and you're lonely, you don't got any friends, and then this KKK recruiter comes up and seems really cool and telling you really cool things.
He's like,
don't listen!
Yeah.
Resist!
And he's like, we call ourselves fun things like purple dragons. And you're like,
no!
Fucking love Barney growing up.
Grand Wizard, that's fun.
I love Harry Potter.
I love magic.
I was convinced, actually, that after I was going to go join the Air Force.
Oh, my Lord.
And I was like, I remember saying this in my church.
What'd you
at
say
a
church
Bible meeting. I was like, you know, almost in tears, and we're holding hands. I was like, I'm going to go and fight for my country because I want to protect my family. We got to kill them before they kill us. 17 years old,
Fox News.
And like eventually I started listening. I was like, wait, this Bill guy is kind of nuts. Oh, and like, and then Colin Powell. And I was like, well, he's black and he says there's weapons of mass destruction.
Oh.
And he's a Republican. It's Republican Party. Abraham
Man.
Lincoln.
You sure took a twist and turn for the change. And
fuck all y'all.
I know.
So what's your teen secret?
I used to eat cereal.
Okay, I just divulged something terrible about myself. You probably still eat cereal.
I was a nerd. Okay, here's my thing. This is what, I was not swayed by Fox News.
Okay.
By the way, Fox News became, because Rupert Murdoch bought Fox.
Okay.
Turned it totally conservative. I was recently looking through my old yearbooks, just like looking through them, kind of like looking at who I was friends with. And I was looking at all the signatures because, you know, when you get a yearbook, you have people sign them.
Yes.
So in middle school, I was so unpopular that I signed my own yearbook. I wrote, have a great year, Neke. Keep your head up. You're wonderful. Love, Neke.
That's so sad. I want to hug you.
But amazing.
It is great.
Because I would literally do like a little smiley face too next to it.
I don't understand. To me, I would have thought you'd have
been self-love, man.
But, well, no, I understand that. Like, I don't understand why you do that. No. I don't understand why you were so unpopular. Because in college, Aneke was so popular.
I blossomed.
She was so popular, especially amongst the boys.
Not really.
Oh my God, they just wanted some Aneke.
Well, they sure didn't go after it.
That's
because damn secret.
No, because that's just because you were so cool. Like even I was intimidated by you. Like
what?
You lived in she lived in like her like cool there was at that point
there was only a couple
there was four apartments.
Oh, I was
and
so
she
cool.
snagged one.
I was an
and
upper
she'd
class
be in her bunk bed
living on campus
watching gay porn and fast forward to the Benny Hill music.
We did have a porn party where we put porn on and fast forward it and play the Benny Hill music over it.
Friday nights at Becky's apartment. They're like, it's kind of amazing. If you have
that happens.
They're eating popcorn and drinking wine, just giggling.
Man, what What a rise I had from signing my own yearbook.
To having an apartment full of people. And Necky's like, it's showtime.
Check this out. And it was a variety of porn, too.
Okay, I just happened to walk in when there was gay porn. Right. And you taught me, we watched The Labyrinth. Was it you that taught me The Labyrinth drinking game?
Yeah, whenever you see Jared's crotch, you take a shot.
Yeah.
You get so drunk.
You were wasted. 20 minutes into the movie, David Bowie's crotch is so big. And that movie's so weird because like Jennifer Connelly's like putting on makeup.
Like, she's like 14 and he's like, I love you. Look at my glass orbs.
Dance, magic, dance.
Puppets.
Touch that, baby. Make it move.
My crotch.
That movie has got literally a lot going on.
That's literally how it happens.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing in Teen Secret Corner.
Shh.
You know, because we're going to be a teen for a few more episodes, mm-hmm. Maybe this will be a new little segment.
Oh, Teen Secret Corner?
Teen Secret Corner.
I'm going to run out fast because I'm a really boring teen.
We need a theme song. Teen Secret Corner. Hee 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 hee.
I like that. That's good. Hey, James.
Hey, girl. I love being a teen.
I know. It's fun. So what do teens like to do? Braid each other's hair.
Touch their boobs and penises.
Have some pillow fights.
And play kissing games.
Also, playing games. Like video games? Teens like to play video games.
Oh, shit. I love playing video games.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a teen.
But
there was a time when I was like, I'll never stop playing video games ever.
And
I don't play them.
Aww.
It's just hard to like keep up with the systems, and they got double joysticks, and like I ain't got time for this.
And adults play video games. It's popular, but usually you get your interest when you're a teen, correct?
Yes, this is correct.
So a lot of times they want to infuse the two and make them educational.
Yes. Ooh.
Including this company called Serious Games.
I've heard of them.
You have?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I just feel like I have.
It sounds very... It's serious. Serious Games. So they have a whole series that's called Playing History.
Oh, God. I don't like where this is going. You trapped me! I'm devastated
so
already.
So they have one of the series. The first one was Vikings. The second one was Plague. What could the third one be?
Well, first of all, do those Vikings rape and pillage? Because that's what they did.
Oh, we'll get back.
Oh, God.
Well,
is that
they
part
don't.
Of the game?
They're they like, don't.
Because
but,
those Rockstar games, it's like you get points for beating up prostitutes.
I know, this one. Whoo, hold on to your butt, James.
Okay. So you have Vikings?
Game, no, this game is called Playing Slaves. History 2 Slave Trade.
I'm done. I'm done. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm writing a lot.
You're not even ready. Just wait.
No.
Wait.
Oh, this is the worst corner ever.
Wait.
I'm Oh, this is terrible.
You're not going to get excited about this.
This is for kids.
So the tagline of Serious Games is experience engaging and personal stories set in exhilarating points in world history.
Okay.
Exciting
and exhilarating. I would not call the slave trade exciting and exhilarating.
So the game Slave Trade... It's a little tone deaf. You play a slave guy who's like working with a slave trader to trade, and he realizes that it sucks, so he's trying to escape slavery. It's clunky.
Okay.
But we're not going to talk about that right
now. So it's like 12 Years a Slave, but from like a slave owner's perspective.
But a slave talking to a slave owner. It's weird.
Oh. So it's 12 Years a Slave, the video game.
Basically. Okay. With a tiny mini game in the middle. You ready for this tiny mini game?
Like a puzzle?
It's Tetris.
It's a puzzle.
But with slaves in a boat.
No! You're fucking kidding me.
I wish I was.
You know, I wish that we were in a time period where we could laugh and giggle about something like this. And you know what's fucked up? They would never do a Holocaust, the video game.
Never. They would... In the Vikings and the Plague, there's none of this shit in there. Who in their right mind would be like, hey, this is a great idea. They had to stack slaves in boats. Let's just turn it into Tetris.
And there had to have been, like, staff meetings about this, and people had to spend their fucking time.
Right.
And to, like, design this.
And, oh, God.
And you know what this makes me think of? Is, like, how, I bet you there's not a single person of color who works for that company.
Oh, hell no.
Because this would not have happened.
So this is a European game, but still.
Well, fuck you, Europe.
Right.
Shit and giggles from that side of the pond.
So it was created in 2013, and then it was released. And then, so Steam, have you heard of Steam?
Oh, yeah, I had a Steam account, but I had
so
to,
what is Steam? Is it,
Steam
like
Steam is, like, an online, like, they gives you access to a bunch of different, like, video games. Okay. Like, there's a Marvel game that, but it's...
They probably don't stack slaves in the Marvel.
No, I was running around as the Scarlet Witch.
Ooh.
Be-hixing people.
You needed to be-hix these damn video game creators.
Scarlet Witch would not allow for this shit to happen. She does not like anyone being impressed.
So, okay. So, it joined Steam in 2014, and since it got exposed to so many people in 2014, people were like, hold up.
Good.
What is this? So people were getting pissed. Yes. And they were like sending Twitters, they were writing letters, they were doing what normal people do. And the CEO of the company, his name is Simon Edgefelt Nielsen.
Fuck
already,
you.
We're dusting off a spot in the corner for this guy.
Yeah.
Dust it off.
Can we just throw him in the corner already?
Just dust it.
Okay. Well,
just clean off a nice... Actually, no. Keep it dusty. Okay. Throw some dirt in there.
I'm going to put some feces.
Put some doo-doo feces in that corner for him to sit down on.
And some placenta that attracts bears.
He's about to dig himself a doo-doo feces hole right now because he's
an
idiot.
You're going in.
So... People were mad, so they took out the minigame,
okay.
And they took out the Tetris clip from the advertisement trailer.
Okay. Like, stack slaves! Get as many points as you can!
And if you
Make
see these
money.
Fucking slaves, they look like the most ridiculous-looking black people. They're wearing loincloths with, like, giant eyeballs, looking all scared. It's terrible.
So, like, wrong on every fucking
every
level.
Every fucking level. So... They issued the most non-apology I've ever heard in my life.
Can't wait to hear it.
The game and trailer was updated Monday. Slave Tetris has been removed as it was perceived to be extremely insensitive by some people.
So they don't understand that it's insensitive at all? Like, not at all. And you call it Slave Tetris. Like, that name alone, that's a red flag. I'm like, wait a minute, Slave Tetris, that, oh, you know what, let's just use blocks. Oh, you know what, let's not have this guy be a slave at all.
I'm sorry some people are insensitive about our Slave Tetris. You could blame them, but we took it out. That's basically what that says.
And here's honestly, if they really wanted to create this and tell this story, they could have just made it all Martians.
I know.
And they could have had a race of people that was being enslaved.
That's what science fiction does all the time.
Just science fiction and call it a day.
Martian Tetris.
You could have done, like, yeah, the Nairobians. Wait, no, that's a country. Wait, Naboo. I was thinking of Star Wars. Wow. The Naboo.
Fox News, get it in there.
It's still in my head. Get out of here, Fox and Friends.
Help yourself. Okay, so let me... So people weren't happy about that.
Oh, they weren't? Really?
Apology.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't. People were kind of like, wait a minute, that's kind of a fucked up apology,
it's
sir.
It's not an apology at all.
So,
it's like, sorry you got offended.
It's exactly a sorry you got offended. So CEO Simon Edgefelt Nielsen released a statement, and his statement read like this. You ready?
No, but you're going to read it anyways.
Maybe there is just a lot of cultural differences in what you can discuss and express. And maybe, just maybe, there are larger issues at stake here than whether Slave Tetris was bad taste or not. And maybe, as a lot of tweeters say, a stupid white Dane like me don't know anything and shouldn't be allowed to say a single word about the story of African Americans. What do I know? We tried to make a game to teach about what we thought was an important topic. We did spend a lot of time doing it. We did consult the experts. Who the fuck were the experts that were like, yeah, that's good, that's accurate?
Like John, who graduated from my high school with my high school government teacher, and he was like, is this a good idea? And he was like, yeah.
That's good. I have reached the conclusion that no matter what we have done, it would have been wrong.
Yes. The answer is yes. Unless, like, I'm sure there's a, like, if you really wanted to make a game that was about the fucked upness of it, I mean, you could do, like, a Django Unchained, maybe.
Just don't do it!
That's true. Okay.
Just don't do it!
Yeah. Like, there's some things of, like, and you know what? He's like, where, like, you were wrong.
You're
the
wrong,
point
dude.
Of it is, you fucked up, you were wrong.
You're wrong.
Go away, this was a dumb idea.
But here's the worst part about the whole thing. He has been defending this goddamn Slave Tetris for years now. He's released that statement, but a year ago, he released another statement.
Why is he still talking?
And he was saying, I think it's a real shame that a lot of people are so ignorant towards the potential of games for more than entertainment. Like any medium or tool, it can be used for good or evil. It's our aim to reach people that would normally not reflect or learn about this subject. What? I have a feeling that many of the negative reactions here are knee-jerk reactions and sheeps following what others say.
It can't get worse.
Please
than
take
this.
Time to look.
Our intern is getting outraged. Our intern, our 6-year-old intern, almost flipped over this table. Calm down. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. He's not. Calm down. He's just words, sort of. Fuck this person.
Trust me, nobody is laughing or finding it a joke to play that kind of Tetris. Why did you name it Tetris?
Why did you name it Slave Tetris? Why would that be part of the game to, like, I gotta make as much... Like, it was terrible. People died. Are you also, like, considering that, like, uh-oh, like...
I know.
Is it more of a... Like, there's no way... Just don't make this game. There's no point.
Even worse, he goes in response to commenters about how they're being too sensitive and how we are going towards a closed society where sensitive and controversial subjects are not welcomed in public because it causes an outcry for focusing on motives and persons rather than the subject, which stops any open debate. I wanted to highlight that because a lot of people don't realize that this is a tactic that's used constantly against people who want to speak out against injustice.
True.
I've been hearing it a lot. The PC police, the, oh, you're just being sensitive.
Even Miley Cyrus against Nicki Minaj was like, it's commenting the way that she responded back to it. But yeah, the PC police. I hate hearing that bullshit.
So, one, when we talk about these things and we say that it's wrong, it's not us trying to censor. It's us trying to defend our dignity.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. We live in a world where we're different. We all have beautiful differences. And we don't want to be made fun of for them. And we don't want our history to be seen as a Tetris game. So if you ever find yourself wanting to use that term of being like, oh, now I gotta watch what I gotta say. Oh, everybody's PC, everybody's sensitive. Think about a minute why somebody might be sensitive about what you're trying to say. Yeah. And it's so easy. I feel like an idiot for trying to explain this to people.
Actually, I feel like you actually just put it in the most simple way that I've actually ever even heard it. And, like, people actually, like, you just see base level. Sometimes people don't want to be made fun of. And maybe there's some things that, like, you know, that there's, if I know you, we can joke around about, but on a broad sense, and some things are just so, have so much hurt and pain to them that people don't want to talk about them. So move on to something else.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why defend your right to be able to make this joke or to make that whatever. And I think a lot of it really is, it sounds like to me, this guy is taking it more personally, that whole entire thing of like, I'm not a racist.
Right.
So he's jumping to that. And the more that you defend yourself that you're not a racist, the more that you actually just really are. And actually admit that there's some... This whole entire thing is an example of systemic racism.
Yes.
And that how it's just so embedded and so... It's so deep. And him not being able to see it and his team of people not being able to see...
Oh, let's just stack some people. Because people in the past thought that they weren't people. So it's okay for us to play Tetris with them now. No, homie. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Get in the corner, Simon, for one, creating it, and two, defending it for hella long.
You're fucking stupid. I know you're listening. And when you make Minority Corner the video game podcast...
Don't stack us.
Don't you stack us. You better step it up.
Don't you dare stack us.
Make me hella cute.
Make me cute, too.
And I want, like, superpowers. I'm going to fly.
You basically want to be the Scarlet Witch, right? But James.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll Captain America that. A bit. Which... Side note, nothing to do with anything you just discussed.
All right, let's go there.
Chris Evans said that he's happy to play Captain America forever, which is a huge turnaround.
I know, because he didn't even want...
He was like, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore.
He must have had hella fun in that last movie.
Yes, I mean, like, he's just having a blast, and he's making hella money, and the movies are really good. And he even said, he's like, Marvel's movies are amazing, I'm having a blast, I'm working with great producers and directors, I'm in.
You know what happened? He tried to make some, like, sentimental sad movies, and they didn't get greenlit.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck.
Snowpiercer was good, though. Did you see Snowpiercer?
No, I didn't.
Homework, go do it. See Snowpiercer.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go see it.
Anyways, fuck, who's this guy?
Don't play Simon.
Well, obviously don't play
Simon Edgefelt Nielsen. Don't play Slave Tetris. And don't try and PC police people. Just be like, yes, if you're offended, I'm sorry.
Yeah, or even it's like, maybe you don't even understand why someone's being offended, and you don't have to maybe understand it, but just stop doing it.
And don't say, I'm sorry you're offended.
Like, if I tell you when you punch me, it hurts, don't keep punching me.
Right, or be like, I'm sorry your arm's weak and can't handle my punch.
Yeah, fuck you. You can't handle the slap of my hand on your face. I love you, I hate you. I hate you. Aneka just said something very offensive to me.
What did I say?
So I was telling her how I'm recovering from that shitstorm of that. And I just looked at the images. Those are fucked up. And everybody, we should, like, burn it down.
We're going to post the link.
Let's fucking, like, I will burn that, his house down, his building down, his company down.
Do it.
The pictures are made me want to cry.
They're terrible. Of
the slave Tetris. Yes. And then Aneke told me to shake it off. Shake it off. From T. Swift, who I've grown
just
to hate.
Just like how Fox News has infiltrated your brain.
Taylor Swift has infiltrated yours.
Yeah, she's in there and I hate it.
Get out of Africa.
Get out of Africa.
Out of Africa. Out of Africa.
Out.
Like, not just that stupid movie that was made. That was also equally as bad as what you did, filming your fucking music video in Africa and falling in love with all these white dudes that you shipped in there from Australia.
Not gonna hate on Scott fucking Eastwood.
I don't know.
It was hot.
Good for him. Anyways, I'm gonna dust myself off and try again, like Aaliyah.
Rest in peace, baby girl.
Who we're doing a dance series, Icon Dance Collective. We're
oh,
doing
an
Aaliyah dance series starting in Mondays in October.
In New York?
And here in San Francisco, Paul's gonna be teaching.
Oh, nice.
All right, so keeping on with the teenage dream.
What corner are we in now?
I misunderstood the assignment.
Oh.
This has nothing to do with teenage.
You assigned
anything.
The assignment.
I know. I even sent a negative text message. I was like, make sure you have a teen topic.
I know.
And then I couldn't find one. I feel like we talk about teen topics all the time anyways.
Hey, you know what? You made the assignment. I'm not great in the paper. So let's, what did you?
I got a check plus minus. We're doing a, there's no grades
it's
in our
pass,
school.
Pass, no pass. We'll see if you pass.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, how about this? We're going to talk about something that is, it makes you feel childlike or teen-like.
Yeah. Like that?
Yes, just like that. We're going to talk about... Oh my god, wait, I meant to do this intro of like, whoa, Aneke, I'm so high. I'm out in the desert. I'm at Burning Man. Why? What are you making all these noises about? So Burning Man, the cities are empty. The city, the
San
streets,
Francisco is wonderful right now.
It's actually magical.
Nobody's here.
Nobody's here. Because
Burning Man, me and the intern got stuck in traffic coming over.
Coming over, yeah. Because all the same people who are here are just like circulating about. They're like, look at all this space. And we're on each other's way. So Burning Man.
What's going on with Burning Man?
Well, Burning Man started in 1986.
Oh.
It takes place at Black Rock City, Nevada. So all these people travel to Burning Man. And in Burning Man, it's a magical place.
It looks just like the Mad Max chase, all of them going to Burning Man.
It's essentially Fury Road.
Yes.
And they're like, Ferocia, get back here. There's a guy, I'm sure there's that scene actually happening.
Yeah, right now it's happening over there.
Playing guitar. Flames are coming out.
That's exactly what's happening.
The women are like dressed in those like flowy
cloth gowns. With like goggles on their head.
Some woman's shaved head and is missing an arm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
She's playing it off hella hard right now.
She's dope.
Man.
And I'm turned on and terrified at the same time by her.
It's a good state to be in.
But meanwhile, she actually works like for Google.
Yeah. She's like their office clerk.
Yeah, Sally.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sally. You own that Burning Man costume.
You do. You work it out.
You wait every year for this.
So the rules of Burning Man are you have to find your own place to sleep while you're there in the desert. You have to bring your own food. And you have to wear the strangest clothing possible for a week. No money. But it's sort of the idea.
Yes.
But you do have to find your own place to live. Like, because you got to live
encampments.
Something. Yeah. So it's like this giant, like a bunch of people going, 50,000 people going to camp.
You know who we should have on? We should have on Colleen, who, shout out to Colleen. She works with you at...
She does a lot of stuff at New Conservatory Theater Center.
Her parents are involved with Burning Man.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much, and drugs are illegal there, but there's so much drugs, it's like Halloween. Like getting Halloween candy.
It is not illegal
it's
there.
It's considered illegal. But, because they have to put that in the rules, they can't be free drugs.
It's a loose-ass rule.
But the drugs are free because there's no money allowed to be exchanged at Burning Man.
You gotta barter.
So, Burning Man.
BJ's for everything.
You know, this is, every teen has, you're right.
It's probably
And
true.
People are changed, because you can't exchange, money, but you sure can exchange saliva and drugs.
A little bijaroo for some Coca-Cola, please.
Yes.
And some furry boots.
A little finger jam
for some pizza.
Jam.
Oh.
Pizza jam.
A jam for a jam.
Wow, copyright. Oh, man. I always try to outgross you, but it doesn't work.
It does not.
Okay, so, Burning Man, do you want to know, there was a census that was taken care of.
How professional. At Burning
Man. Yeah, they were, you know, somebody was investigating. Mm-hmm. So, demographics, 87% white.
That, I mean, Burning Man's one of those things that I just associate with white people. I'm
well,
sorry.
6% Hispanic.
Okay.
6% Asian.
You hold on to that, you guys.
2% Native American.
All right.
1.3% black.
Why don't black people want to go?
Well, you know who's going to tell you why black people don't go?
I think I know who, because I've read this.
Larry Harvey, who he started Burning Man, who also lives in San Francisco. He lives in the Fillmore, the historically black district of San Francisco.
Which is actually a really interesting district because a lot of Japanese people live there. And then during World War II, they were taken out because of the encampments. And then black people moved in there. And then when they were released...
They got Japantown, which is like a block.
Yeah, which is fucked up. But a lot of cool things happen, like Japanese jazz musicians and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Whole nother story. Sorry. Just
also, I want to go back to those demographics, and if you note, they add up to 103%.
So, sure, there's no drugs at Burning Man.
Of course, it's a Burning Man census. No. It's like 103%. Yeah. It's actually like 102.3%. I'm sorry.
That 2.3 is just love, baby.
So, Larry Harvey, he was asked about this.
What'd
and
you say,
he
sir?
Says, what's his voice? I don't think black folks like to camp as much as white folks. I like that he says folks, because I say folks, and that's like
a he's a part of the people, man.
Thing. So apparently black folks don't like to camp as much as white folks.
I went camping last year.
Yeah. I don't necessarily, it's not my favorite thing to do, but there's no, anyways, fuck you, that's not true. I'm just going to jump into
this. He's not black, he can't say that.
Well, he does have a black son.
Oh, well then he
Well, a half black son, I'll get into that in a minute. Okay. I'm actually going to read a bunch of quotes.
So he's like a Steve Amos where he loves...
Actually, he is very much like, he reminds me of Steve Amos. He's trying.
Okay.
In his own way. They asked him a little bit more about, so, and then they actually hired, the organization had hired a black lesbian to kind of help investigate, like, you know, diversity
okay,
and stuff
cool.
like that. He doesn't like the idea of them trying to reach a quota for, in terms of, like, trying to, like, increase demographics and stuff
All
like
right.
that. He's like, I think it's a little too much to expect this organization to solve the problem of racial parity. Nobody was asking your organization to do that specifically.
No. They just want more black people to be there.
And then he was like, wait, no. I see black folks out here, unlike some of our liberal critics. I don't know why I got Southern, but he did. Maybe I'll just do a Cher voice for him.
It works.
Oh, wow. So then they were even like, they asked him to like, wait, talk about like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
What are you
about?
Saying, sir?
So then he goes, he has the bat, he's like, wait, no, I got this. Okay. He's like, I got this.
Okay. What does he say?
Should I do it as Cher?
No.
Remember
no,
a group that was enslaved. Okay. No. No, Cher. Remember a group that was enslaved and made to work slavishly, you know, in the fields. This goes all the way back to the Caribbean scene, when the average life of a slave in the fields was very short. And so, there's that background. Then again, and poverty associated with things, maybe our first move isn't to go camping. Seriously!
What? The theme of our episode is white
teenage
people
dream?
To explain
oh.
slavery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's exactly... Oh, my God, that is actually the...
Apparently the theme.
Why guys try to explain slavery? Okay, first of all, the Caribbean scene. Like, it's not some jazz club, dude. I get it. The Caribbean What's scene was a far-out place. Slaves were coming in and out, and we had to play Tetris to get them in. Fuck you. And, like, it's not like... Okay, first of all, it's not like we have just been released, and we're like, what are we going to do now? Well, I don't want to go camping. God, I've been in this, you know... house stacked with all these other people. I do not want to go camping. All right, girl.
I was just out in the field. I do not want to go live
Last
in the field.
Last thing. Like, that isn't it.
Also, Burning Man is not camping. You're just wearing, like, a vest and some furry boots.
Well, absolutely. And like, and they actually even, like, called him on, like, the demographics of Burning Man have absolutely been, like, changing a lot. And before, I want to touch on that, but, like, I also want to say, what sort of culture and community are you creating that is those demographics, like, 87% white? Like, if you have this thing that's been going on since 1986, mm-hmm. and, you know, he even said, because they called him out about, like, the wealth that has been there, mm-hmm. that's there at Burning Man.
Because that was and what the true actually, story is, like, all these rich people.
All these rich people are going. But actually, it's been at the heart and core of Burning Man in mm-hmm. general, is that a lot of people from Silicon Valley, it's their time to go away and be free. And so then it goes, like, what are a lot of the people who are working in these places? Mm-hmm. So white it's a lot of white people. Mm-hmm. And so then they get to go away from it all because they can afford to, like, you know...
These tickets are expensive now.
For one, these tickets are fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just glamping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just glamorized camping. They even, like, some of these places have... what are they called? Sharifs? Is that the word I'm looking for?
No, they're settlements.
Sheriffs? No.
I thought they're, like, settlement no. camps.
Yes, but I'm talking about what's the, they're, like,
the rich people
indentured
camps?
They, like, essentially indentured servants.
Oh, serfs.
Serfs! Sharifs. The sheriffs. They're hiring sheriffs.
Pew, pew!
They might as well, because some of these fancy-ass camps, they all drive in these huge RVs.
Oh, my Lord.
And then they set up a border.
Oh, my God.
And only certain people can get through.
Which is bullshit, and that's totally against the whole thing entire, of, like, whatever what this
white utopia
is.
Village was. And they actually, like, even called him out on, like, this, like... Yeah. So it sounds like you're, like... Because people are, like, oh, it's a magical place. It's the way the world should be. And you're, like, 87% white. 90% white. It's a magical place.
I'm side-eyeing you.
And, like, if you're creating, like since 1986 when this has been beginning, mm-hmm. that, like, it's been this place where only white people were going. And so, like, you know, there's a reason why when people look at, like, the Renaissance Fair or something, they're like,
yeah.
I don't feel like I belong there, right?
Right. I think about Burning Man and think, well, I'd be the only black person running around naked.
Yes.
I don't know if
it's
I
part of the
do
reason
that.
Why in First Rain back in college, I never ran.
I never did because people would know those are my titties.
Because
they'd
you
be
were like,
there's a neck issue.
It's
She's
either
the
a
only neck black lady.
Or it's Julia. So in Santa Cruz, at the time it was the First Rain, it was tradition that everyone took off their clothes and ran around naked.
Yeah.
And all the white folks loved doing it. And a lot of times, like, there was, like, one, like, oh, there's David.
I knew.
Because he's black. And, you know, just. Like, they were like, it's so freeing and so liberating.
Because you're with a mass of people and nobody just,
And you all look alike.
Stick out.
You absolutely do. And, like, and
James, I'm going to let you slide on that.
Well, no, I just mean, like, you well,
blend in because it's the same skin tone. When you're brown, you stick out.
Yes, absolutely. So there's this whole entire thing of changing. And, like, again, it's another example to me
mm-hmm.
of not accepting the responsibility of, like, what is happening here. Or, like... Not understanding, like, I think he could have come out and said, yeah, racism is actually fucking systemic.
Right.
And that there's these different things that are in place that, for one, like, in these workplaces that they're in, that mm-hmm. they're not involved in these communities. So they're therefore not coming out to this playground and this utopia that they're being created in. And, like, also, like, the black lesbian that was working for him mm-hmm. no longer works for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she was, like, saying, she was, like, he was, like, get me a list of black arts organizations and communities, and I'll go out there, and I'll talk to them, and
okay.
tell them about it. And, well, she never did. And so then he put the, but, like, is that, why is it the black lesbian's responsibility
right.
to be, like.
He should have been doing it,
if, like,
or something.
And he has, like, this, you know, his, and what's just, it's very interesting because his son is, like, half black.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quote about his son that he says.
Uh-oh, I'm scared. I know that he definitely likes to talk about his ex-wife, who's black, too.
Yes, yeah, so he has an ex-wife, his ex-Jamaican wife.
Yes.
And she's ex probably for a fucking reason.
Yes, because he likes to put his foot in his mouth.
Because, like, way back when in Burning Man, there's a black woman who talked about how she felt very alienated from Burning Man, not very a part of it. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, you know, I know how she felt. My son is biracial. If that term makes any sense... But he's considered black because it's a touch of the brush, which brands you black anywhere. So I've encountered that in reactions to my family.
One, don't, what, no. Just
what
don't,
the fuck
no,
is the touch of the brush? What is that? What brush?
Is that the
black
vagina?
Is that what they say? Like, behind closed doors?
Touch of the brush.
Oh, she's got a touch of the brush. What? Like, it's a thing she's been afflicted with? Oh, she's got a touch of the brush. She's black.
This guy, one, he needs better PR rep.
And two, get his kids away from him.
I know.
He does not need a black sign.
That
biracial is a term that does make sense.
Touch of the brush is only said by racist Southern people or old black women. That's like an old black woman, like, she's got a touch of the brush, which is a racist thing to say, too. I'm speechless. This guy... Come on.
And I get why his wife is an ex-wife, but apparently she still goes like Burning Man. But whatever.
Well, she can be free to go to Burning Man, lady, but hopefully away from this guy.
It's just gotten so ridiculous and outrageous, and even Burning Man itself is. In some ways, I'm like, whatever. It's being gentrified because all the tech people are like.
Anything cool becomes gentrified.
$100,000 to come to this thing. They're flying like. So it used to be like $300 to go to like this one camp, this yeah. tech camp, and now it's like something crazy like. $2,500. $25,000. Something crazy.
Jesus.
But, like, they fly in models.
Oh, my God.
To be part of their camps. Yeah. And, like, they just build these ridiculous things of, like, listen, if you all want to fucking go camping in the desert, go fucking go camping in the desert. But they have, like, yeah. sushi and lobster now. You can now order things.
Oh, my God.
Order things from the real world to come to you. No. You're there for a fucking week.
That's not even the reason of going.
Go away.
Well, that's just the sad, sad tale of anything cool. All the rich, awful, terrible people who can't think of anything cool come and make it terrible.
I don't feel bad because we weren't invited to this party, and I'm sorry, sad white hippie people, that your party's been taken over. But you know what? That happens. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the fucking party where our countries,
our
towns, yeah, welcome to our lives. And what you do is you go to those hippie parties and you put on those fucking headdresses, you put on your African garb, and you reappropriate our shit. So welcome to the fucking club of reappropriation. That's how it is. I'm fucking done.
Mic dropped.
Do you want to go to Burning Man next year?
Yeah, okay, let's try it.
Okay. Y'all ready for this? Guess. We've got a guest. We got a guest.
Ryan Christo.
Hi.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Welcome to the Minority.
Thanks, guys. Long time fan, first time guest.
Oh, I'm so excited. You're actually the first guest we've had that actually has listened to the podcast.
I know.
So that makes us feel
very loved. Ryan always will text me and be like, when's the episode coming out?
Because sometimes we're a little late getting up.
He needs a fix.
And he was devastated when we had the episode 5, I think, Whose Wine Is It Anyways?
Yes.
I thought we got in a fight, and we advertised it as a huge fight.
It was.
And then I listened, and you couldn't even tell.
So you were a little disappointed?
No.
It's false advertising.
Well, we thought, for
us... It was
us,
tense.
It was, you know...
It was ice cold in here.
Drunk and glaring at each other.
Yes. I think it's you need better microphones to really capture the passion.
The tension in our voices.
The like the girl.
And the Carlo Rossi.
We stepped it up.
If you could smell it.
It was in a bottle.
It was in a bottle. Oh.
Carlo Rossi's in a bottle.
It was not a jug.
Yeah, that's like a jug.
Okay, that's a good. There's a difference.
So actually,
jug versus bottle.
You've actually been our intern for this episode.
Yeah.
Yay.
That was. He also does voiceover work.
And he actually did do some intern work where he pulled up the quote for James.
Saved
it was
my
magical.
Life. I couldn't find a quote.
It was magical.
It was great. Yeah.
It was really good.
You're welcome.
So Ryan Christo, you're in a band called 100%.
I am.
Whoa. Oh, I want it when, what, where, when, how, why.
I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, when are you performing? I want to, yeah.
We don't have anything on the books right now because we had been recording an EP that we just mixed and put out.
That's so amazing.
It's out. Yeah. It's called Modern Luxury.
Modern Luxury.
Where, how can we get this?
It's in iTunes, Bandcamp, Apple Music. Apple Music. Try it out.
Is Apple Music like the Spotify?
Well,
of Apple?
I just want to put a disclaimer. We do have a tech person in our midst right now.
Let's get your opinion about stuff. So a lot of San Francisco, the Bay Area is changing. There's a lot of like tech influence. Mm-hmm. A lot of tech people are coming from different places, and the city's changing. It's getting very expensive. The culture of the Bay Area is changing.
It's changing, y'all.
What you work in there with these people? What are your thoughts?
With these assholes.
We're not making it up. Some of them are assholes.
Some of them are, and some of them aren't. I mean, it's a really complicated issue, and I'm on the one end because I work in the tech industry, but
yeah.
I didn't really do it on purpose, you know.
You're a musician.
Like, I'm a musician. I went to school for music. I studied sound engineering. I went to USC. I ended up here. I started living here in the late 90s during summer while I was in college, and then moved here permanently in 2002.
Welcome. You've been here before the boom.
Yeah.
Before the boom.
Well,
you came during the lull between the dot-com
the end of
the
first the boom.
New one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny. I was trying to talk about this in the in-betweens, and I got shut down.
Because we want you to talk about it on the mic. Because
you've heard everything we've talked about today.
Yeah, so bring it up. Opinions. And also, let's just be clear. You are a part of the POC camp here,
I am,
too.
I am. I'm Mexican. I have a touch of the brush.
You got a touch of the brush.
What is that statement?
No, it's brush. The worst.
Oh, God.
It's the worst. Touch of the brush.
I've actually never heard that before.
Neither have I. I'm going to start. I'm going to wear a shirt that says touch of the brush.
Let's reclaim
that.
No,
my shirt will say, I am the brush.
So when you and Andrew have kids, I'm gonna be like, oh, look who's got a touch of the brush.
Can you say that in the delivery Cynthia. Room? Just Cynthia.
I want to name your baby.
Uh-oh. I don't like that laugh.
Trijarda.
Oh my God.
I like Cynthia.
But tell us.
Okay,
tell us about
tell
it.
Okay. What's going on?
First of all, how you just got back from Burning Man. How was it?
I will never go to Burning Man. It is way past the time for me to go.
You were part of the 6% of Latinos that were there.
If I was going to go to Burning Man, it would have been at least 10 years ago.
You know, I would go for a day, but I hear you actually have to go for three days
or something.
It takes 3 days to get acclimated to all, like, but you come back, you got dirt in your vagina. Like,
every
everybody
single
comes back
crevice.
And
it's
everybody
not even
comes
like,
back with a yeast infection.
It's the dust from the playa, y'all.
Oh, the playa dust.
It's just like you cherish
it. You know, it's not even regular dust, it's like clay that just sticks to you. It's
I had a girl gross. From Santa Cruz pour her magical playa dust on my head.
She needed
at a party.
To go away with that
She's
shit.
She's like, I'm gonna miss you. La 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 dust.
Nope.
She put dirt on my hair.
Punch.
Yeah. Seriously.
Punch.
Fuck that.
But you know, so, like, I think around 10 years ago was when I really started to notice all of the Silicon Valley people started going all the time. Because I was working at a company in Soma, and then some of the engineers were like, we're gonna go this year. And my friend who were, like, familiar with it were like, you? Really?
Yeah!
And then it's just escalated to the point where that's all that's... I mean, they're the only ones who can afford it.
Right.
You can take time off.
True.
And go and turn it into this, like, yuppie wonderland. Mm-mm. And they're, like, if you look at the pictures of all the people, it's, like, a bunch of white people with dreads.
Yes.
And it's... Which, they think it's Mad Max. It's just...
And they get compliments when they get dreads. Yeah. Like, when Miley Cyrus had dreads, everyone's like, oh my God, it was so cute.
I wasn't.
But then there was that, like, you know...
that reporter who was like...
That Juliana Ribisi, like,
yeah.
said, like, oh,
yeah.
Hair
oh, yeah,
smells weird.
For Zendaya, who's yeah. Oakland represents, and Zendaya, come on the show. Oh.
She's probably listening.
You're invited. You could actually come here right now.
And her parents were recently told, like, she went on a whole Twitter thing, not to get into the sidetrack, she is one of these brilliant youngsters where her parents were, they took picture with her, and her parents, she got a touch of the brush. Her mom's white, her dad's black, very Oakland, her name's Zendaya. Her mom was wearing a Raiders jacket. They were on the red carpet. It was really beautiful.
Her mom wore a
Raiders jacket
on
the
red
carpet.
That is
magical.
Amazing.
These people look amazing. They look like very happy Oakland people. And everybody on Twitter was like, her parents are ugly. Look at her ugly ass pants.
Ew,
but she went on this long rant, this beautiful statement about how people need to get a life and her parents are beautiful.
Get off
her
fucking parents. And it's her fucking parents.
I know.
Ew. I can say that. Like, she could say that about her mom. Like, ugh, mom. Raiders jacket, but like it's the thing I talk about my
I
mom.
I've been like, mom,
but you can't talk about.
I'm just gonna say the fact that she wore a Raiders jacket on the red carpet
boss,
is beautiful to me.
Boss.
It's a beautiful
God,
moment.
She should have had a Raiders gown. That would have been amazing.
You know, do you watch that show Silicon Valley? I don't.
Yes,
but
I do.
I actually like Mike. I like Mike Judd.
Yeah,
Mike Judd. Because he did. I grew up watching Beavis and Butthead with my mom, and in King of the Hill.
Idiocracy is great.
I love it. But so I missed this one, and he did Office Space. And actually, there was some guy who actually works in Silicon Valley, some head of something. He was like, he doesn't like the show because he was like, Mike Judd's never been to Burning Man. He doesn't get us.
Oh,
so it's sort of the
God.
Idea
Burning
that
Man
like,
is not you anyway. It didn't start as
but,
that.
Apparently, the Silicon Valley, it's like part of their ritual and they're like it's,
now.
Yes,
it was. They've appropriated Burning Man for themselves too. Like that. So My girlfriend, Erin. Hi, shout out to Erin.
Shout out to Erin. Oh my gosh. Hi.
We know some of the, like, original people. Like, this guy, Kirk, that I know, he went to the very first Burning Man.
When it was in on
Baker's Beach. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That sounds fun.
And he went and he was like, oh, it was a bunch of people who smell like patchouli. It wasn't really my thing back then. But it wasn't like a Silicon Valley thing. It was a bunch of, like, Oakland...
Hippie people.
It does seem like it'd be smelly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's
not
my thing.
Smelly and whichever. Stinky or beautiful smell.
Spice. I would have like canisters of it, and even if I just like
huffing Old Spice.
Huffing Old Spice. I don't need any of your Molly or your
acid.
Can
you bring Terry Crews with you, please?
Yes.
Yes. Terry Crews, come on the show. I love you.
Done.
I bet he's been a Burning Man.
I don't even know.
So tell us more about the how is it working? What are your thoughts about like the tech industry and it's growing and
You actually ride the tech bus too.
You ride the tech bus. Is San Francisco changing? Is this good? Is it bad?
It's different. It's complicated. I think I mentioned before. It's very complicated. I mean, I'm one of a ton of people I know that have been here forever that just work in the tech industry. We didn't move here for it.
No.
But since it's here and we can work in it, we do. But then we get vilified by other people, you know? Like,
and we're, I'm not going to say who you work for, but it isn't like a small startup.
No.
It's a pretty big company. So it's it's not like you're like one of 12 people who is being like a douche and like one of these like type of things.
And
startups.
I'd like to make an, I've been actually called out by a friend of mine who actually works for the same company that you work for. And he's awesome. And so actually two people I do know work in tech. Work for the same company and they're awesome, and I easily make broad generalizations of like the tech people, and like every community has it sort of.
I do it too,
folks.
Yeah,
but also I think something that you said that was really interesting is that there's an influx of people moving from different parts of the country, and like San Francisco's kind of always had its sort of own culture.
It's America's most liberal city too.
Not anymore.
Well, that's one of my biggest worries is like we were talking about the death of hipsters earlier, like outside of the show or whatever. And you know, there's we don't really see as many hipsters as we used to when we see all these like more conservative looking tech people who always have their like button down shirts and beige colored chinos.
Yeah, it's like
beige.
The big fear is that, you know, it's gonna make San Francisco less liberal than it used to be, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's really unfortunate.
Do you think it's also maybe like a psych? If you also do look at the history of San Francisco, it's actually interesting. The cycle of rushes that happen here. Yeah,
the gold rush, the tech rush,
you know, like there's this always these sort of cycles of like boom rushes, and then it sort of
dies down. It sunsets, as Ryan said before. It's a sunset.
And so I think it's kind of challenging because I think we're right. I mean, I think it's still got some more even room. It's still going to keep peak. I don't think we've hit the peak quite yet.
No, I think we got a couple of years. Yeah. Five, totally. And it's dying down.
But, like, I mean, it's so funny. You walk around San Francisco and you walk down the streets and every store and every restaurant has a help wanted sign. Which is interesting. That, like...
Really?
Because...
Service people can't live here.
They can't afford it. Teachers are moving out. Like, it's just this city. And so it's like, who's gonna... It's literally gonna become sort of like down... Like, downtown... It's Wall
Street.
It's
gonna become like the Gilded City where...
Oh, yeah. Nobody can live here. And it's spreading to the rest of the Bay Area, too. Because, like, I live in Oakland and things are getting really expensive in Oakland. You live in Alameda. Things are getting really expensive in Alameda. It's ricocheting out of the Bay Area. So it's... But it's just weird because I want to say, like, wait around and things are going to, like, go back down again. But then
got my plane ticket.
I know. You're out. But it makes me sad, though, because in order to be happy about things going down again, it means that people will have to lose their jobs.
Yeah. And you know, it really makes me sad when I see people online just being like, I can't wait for the bubble to burst, so blah, blah, blah. But, like... We're still talking about people.
Yeah.
Like, it may be really shitty that everything is going the way it is, but in that bubble burst, there's a lot of people
are
going to
lose their jobs.
And I'm, you know, it's like I love the to be honest, I love the money that's being here in the city, and I think it can benefit people. Mm-hmm. We're not, as an artist, it's like we're not really experiencing the trickle-down that we would have liked to have experienced. Right. Of like, you know, it can, like, I would like to see that money put into the arts of like, you know, shit, if I was at this startup and had all this money, and that's because I'm an artist, but I would like be like, here's a couple grand, theater company over here, because I can afford it.
As a musician, I am seeing all of the venues in San Francisco being shut down.
Yes.
It's so awful. It's really bad.
So at first, when all this stuff was happening, I was like, this is, oh, I've seen dance studios get closed down. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars, her dance studio got shut down.
No!
And it was huge, this giant ballroom dance store.
Oh my God.
Got bought out, like, I turned into condos.
Of course.
Condos.
Of course. One of my favorite brunch spots in San Francisco, it's being shut down.
Oh, what's the name of it?
Boogaloo's.
Yeah, I never went there, but I
the
heard
rent
about it.
For that tiny little space on the corner is going to be over 17 grand a month.
Crazy.
That's nuts!
It's insane.
I'm moving to Brooklyn, and I'm going to only be paying $700 a month.
Shut up.
That's ridiculous.
Some people ask me why I'm moving to New York. I'm like, oh, because of financial reasons.
Oh, come on.
It's cheaper. Because
it's cheaper.
Yes, I love how you use that. Oh, my Lord.
Do you guys want a Quizlet?
Let's do a Quizlet.
Do you want to do a Quizlet?
Sure.
It's drugs.
No. This quiz is about drugs. No.
Quizlet corner.
And we only have the one today, okay?
So are we competing against each other?
Yes. And this is for there I am
Ryan.
Going. Oh, I'm only doing there's three things today. We have three things to choose from.
Okay. Oh.
So we need a buzzer.
But wait, do we need to explain the game? Do you know the game?
I know the game.
Wow. Avid listener.
So one of these things is true, and one of them is... Oh, wait, no. There's three things. Oh, my God, it's like I'm on the playa.
Help me.
Are you on burner drugs?
I'm burning the stuff. Okay, so there's three things. One of these is not true. Two of them are true.
Okay, one of them is not true.
Yes. Please wait to buzz in until I read all three of the things. I never stipulate.
Okay.
Oh, is that your... What's your...
It was going to an
end. What's your buzzer? Buzzer? Okay, they sound similar.
Very similar.
But, okay. All right. DC Comics is featuring a sexy steam room encounter between Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin, and Midnighter, the out gay superhero. Could be true, I don't know. This could be true. Britney Spears recently told an audience that men can suck her fucking toe. Could be true, I don't know. Could be true, I don't know. Oh, wait, there's four things. Janet Jackson performed her concert, and she's back, and was wearing what looks like a diaper.
Oh, Janet.
Me too.
But she did a great job.
She does such a pat on the fucking back.
It could be true, I don't know.
Here's your consolation.
Great job, old lady.
Maybe she How far you to. Brought our hero down.
I still love her.
Okay, what's the fourth one?
It just depends.
Oh.
I was going to go there.
All right, last one. Bernie Sanders recently said in an interview he doesn't think he can win because he isn't accepting money from super PACs.
Last one's false.
No, it's Janet Jackson.
Is it
false?
No, Janet Jackson was wearing something that looked like a diaper.
For
Did you see the video?
No!
Oh, her concert. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I need to see
her outfit
this.
Looks like she's covered. It's more of like a cultural thing. Like, she's wearing like MC Hammer pants, but they're like white and flowy, and it looks like a giant diaper.
No. That makes me sad. Who styled her? She normally has good style.
Her hair is big and amazing. She's hitting it hard, but she looks like she's wearing a fucking diaper.
Janet.
And Britney Spears is, for one, I said this, Britney Spears is back. Her mic is on.
And
her mic is on.
Her.
She's casually
saying,
and she's like, she's talking to the audience. Like,
yeah, she threw shade at her ex-boyfriend during that statement.
Yes, she was like, "Men can suck my fucking toe," and she was like, "Oh, you're cute. You're." She's like interacting with the audience.
Mm-hmm. She was like, "I haven't been in a relationship in a year and a half." Oh, she was about a month ago. She broke up with her eight month long boyfriend.
And so she's actually like hitting choreography hard. I think they lowered her meds because she was like was 51-50. But yeah, Bernie Sanders. You're right. Ryan wins.
Yay.
Nailed it.
What did you know?
I knew about the DC Comics thing. I knew about, what was the second one?
Britney Spears.
Oh yeah, yeah. Britney Spears knew that.
Yeah.
It was 50-50 between Janet and Bernie, but I knew Bernie wouldn't say that.
And he didn't. He actually said the opposite. He said
they're getting scared.
He said he doesn't think he's actually gonna fundraise the same amount of money as Hillary. Okay. But he says that he doesn't.
It's fine.
He doesn't think that it's gonna be an issue. Yeah. And he actually said, I think this is actually from an interview he did a while back, but he had the average contribution from 90,000 is like 90,000 people donate. Mm-hmm. Average contribution is only like $43, mm-hmm. and that's like $3.4 million between 90,000 people. Mm-hmm. Like so.
Meanwhile, Hillary's got like 30 million or something.
I know.
Yeah, but I think this was like actually early on in his campaign, so it might have been a little bit more. Anyways, y'all.
That was fun.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Nailed it.
Do you have anything else that you wanted to add or say?
Yeah,
oh, my God. I have so many opinions. I don't even know. What do I do? What do I say? Okay, so one more thing. You know, I'm a fan.
Of the show.
Of this show, of Minority Corner.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
But I feel like you have a gripe.
But I do have a gripe.
What?
I have a gripe.
What?
Sort of.
What do we do?
It's a little understandable. Okay. So, Empire. Let's talk about Empire.
Yeah,
let's
eat these
talk
cookies.
About Terrence Howard. Nom. Because Terrence Howard is a terrible, terrible wife abuser.
Okay, yeah. Break it down. Tell
and
Mackie
did
it.
Try to talk about this, but I was like, eat these cookies.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Sorry, I got excited.
Shove some cookies in my face and push me into the corner.
Mackie and I were talking about this earlier. God. Without you in the room.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, we were talking about it though because it's really
basically
hard.
It was just Ryan yelling at me about it. Let me just
while she's driving in traffic. And I was like, nah, Terrence Howard, nah. But it's hard to accept the fact that something you like is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
So Terrence Howard is a terrible person.
So he beats his wife. I didn't hear the full story.
Yeah, okay. So let me pull this article up because this is what reminded me. So this is a Defamer from Gawker article, and the headline is, "The six times Terrence Howard has been accused of beating up a woman." And so he's been accused six separate times all the way from 2001 up until 2013. Ugh. Yeah, and it's pretty bad, and I'm not going to go into all the specifics.
We'll link the article. You send us the article.
That's so weird because, like, he didn't... I don't think he grew up with his father. I think and he was so very close with his mother. Mm-hmm. So it's like... Because sometimes they say, like, it's, like, passed down.
No, but there's a thing that, like... And I think that this is big in the whole, like...
You think he's gay?
No.
He might be. You never know.
Oh, I actually think... Because he kind of has weird, like... he has weird ideas about, like, homosexuality and stuff. Like, he's still... talks about
almost
like life
he's
choices.
So he's closet man.
I think he's gay, and I think it's great. Obviously, like
it would be great
if
he came
so
out.
Not so great right now
because yes. Yeah.
But here's the thing that I was gonna say. What you're bringing up is like a lot of people love Tupac, and this is my controversial thing. I could take him or leave him, but I don't really like him. Because they always say he's great to women because of his Dear Mama song. Mm. Dear Mama. I'm like, have you heard the rest of his goddamn music? Sure. So a lot of people else. That...
Or like that Keep Your Head Up song.
Yeah.
That's where I like, suck my dick, bitch.
Keep your head up.
Keep my head up.
Yeah. And Mom, I love you. So a lot of people separate the whole virgin... It's the virgin horror complex. Mm. Whereas like you can love your mom, but... the bitch that you're with deserve that slap to the face. You know, it's about separating the two.
I have the same thing with Dr. Dre. So, like, growing up, loved Dre and Snoop, and he's been accused of all crap, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it also, you know, Lost was one of my favorite shows forever, and I can't watch it now because Matthew Fox is a wife beater.
No!
You guys didn't know that?
Uh-uh.
Yep.
I never watched
it. So it's so hard for me to watch anything with him. I get that, and so now I'm probably not going to watch. I'm actually kind of, I think I might actually be done. We'll I might see. Be done with Empire.
I know, yeah, you're over Empire.
I'm going to pretend it was because of me.
Well, okay. I just feel like I finished it. The first season, it was a lot. And I just have a lot of, you know, I love Cookie. I think she's great. I do notice on the marketing for the posters in the first season, it was Terrence Howard and like his back was turned. He was in the front and Cookie was like looking over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And now she's because her character's the breakthrough star.
She's the breakout star.
So now she's sitting on this throne and he's behind her.
Oh, good.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
Terrence Howard seems like the kind of guy who would not like that.
He would probably
Well, he wanted more. Reason why he didn't get... He was kicked out of Iron Man because he wanted the same amount of money as Robert Downey Jr.
I think he made more than Robert Downey Jr. in the first one.
Because he was a bigger star.
They were like, eh.
Yeah, and
Don Cheadle's like, I'll do it.
He actually didn't find it. He found out when we found out. Marvel never told him that he wasn't coming back. They just went ahead.
I don't really feel that sorry for him.
Oh, I'm not saying I feel sorry for him.
No, and he's supposed to be a terrible person to work with.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think we all need to think about, because now that we are in this information age where everything's coming out about our celebrities, how do we reconcile art versus the artist?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times you'll hear, like, I used to like a lot of F. Scott Fitzgerald's writing, but he was a fucking racist. You know, so it's kind of like, how do you deal with that? Can you appreciate the art but dislike the artist?
I can't. And that's like, you mean as a business person, I have a really hard time. It's like separating business and personal stuff, and that's just me. Like, mm-hmm. I have a very difficult time of doing that. Like, I literally can't watch Lost. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite show, and I would love to rewatch it, but I literally can't do that now.
What about you, Ryan?
I don't know. It is hard. I banned Empire from the house, but I still listen to Dre. So, like, yeah. I'm sort of a hypocrite. Well,
that's
part of your childhood
too.
It was
but
part of my childhood. It was before
saying,
I knew
kinda...
that stuff.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm probably not gonna watch. I can't watch The Cosby Show.
Right, but no, I might end up watching. I don't know.
I'll watch A Different World.
Yeah, none but he that. Produced that.
Yeah, but
see,
but all these other great women like Jada Pinkett, who. Fish Mooney.
Have you finished watching
it? Oh, I haven't. I'm only on episode 6. So Do you watch Gotham? Mm-mm. Jada Pinkett is working it out for me as Fish Mooney. Where's her Emmy? Emmy? Because she is so good, and she does like these little hand gestures that are just like, it's just a weird accent that I don't understand what it
just
is.
Finish
but
it.
She is a boss ass bitch, and I love it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
I started it. Didn't really get into it. I watched 2 episodes.
Yeah,
and was like,
I tried to watch it, and then I watched the last couple episodes, and I was like, oh.
I finished everything else I've done. I did. You guys don't. Neither of you watch Arrow, which is a huge mistake.
It's hard to binge when they're not available.
Is it really that good?
Oh, it's so good. It's on Netflix. All of Arrow's on Netflix. It's actually the best superhero TV show.
Better than Daredevil?
Okay, like
Daredevil.
Daredevil's it's
writing
yes.
was terrible. Let's just
I like
honest.
Daredevil.
Whenever Froggy and What's-Her-Face were talking to
each
other, I wanted to bang my head through a wall.
Yeah.
Arrow, like, keep in mind, is on the Arrow's on the CW, but like, the great thing is, it's like, it's great to see how they do the journey for all these, like, every character is a comic book character in some aspect.
Oh, I love it.
That one girl from True Blood, who was the black girl they never knew what to do with.
Yes.
She's gotta be on it. Ooh. As Lady Cop.
Please don't tell me that's really what her name is.
Their comic book character name is Lady Cop.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, but she's great. They made her black, which CW does a great job of like changing the races for characters.
They do a nice way of doing subtle diverse casting.
And I started watching the Vixen animated series, and it's amazing.
Oh, good.
Sadly, the episodes are 5 minutes long. And so you're just like, I literally was watching an episode, and I said to my friend Sal, who watches, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my god, I'm just 2-3 minutes into this Vixen episode, and it is everything.
And then it ends.
And then my next post 3 minutes later was like, oh, and then it was over.
Oh, no.
But it's so good. And they cast this actress who is a black actress. I think she'll end up being on.
Good.
It's just great. Anyways. Well, thanks for letting us know that you will not watch Empire.
Terrence Howard, we're watching you. You're in the corner right now.
And you're done with Empire then, too. No, you're going to watch those cookies.
Because I have a hard time reconciling art with the artist. Because
in the past, we never used to have to do that.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Conversations on the point. I think if anything I've learned today is that, like, all these conversations are happening. And
they need to happen.
And they need to happen, and we're pushing the conversation further, and you're going to say things, and people are going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling us out,
Ryan. Oh, I was talking about us. But you're right. I did brush aside this conversation last week, and I'm glad you made us come back to it. Thanks.
Oh.
Took it out of the box.
Let's plug your shit.
Yeah.
Oh, let's plug my shit.
Plug your shit.
What's your band's name?
100%.
Album.
100% website, wearewe100%.com.
Go listen. Go listen to the new album.
Yeah, so we don't have any shows coming up, though.
Okay. But go listen but to the album.
Us, yeah, just I'm find us on Bandcamp. It. It's 100% with 100 spelled out percent.
We'll put up nice. A link on our website.
Yeah, we will. We'll put okay. up a link up. I've known Ryan forever. Thank you so much for forever. Being a good...
Thanks so for having me.
I am too. Awesome. I'm like a super fanboy. Yeah,
this is great. Awesome. All right, well, thanks for stopping by the corner.
Thank you.
All right.
Now you can go sit back in the corner.
And intern.
Yeah, go back and intern.
Sorry, guys.
Cheryl. That's what I work.
I call him Sally.
Sally Cheryl. That's like the name of any intern that I get from the orphanage.
Sally Cheryl.
Sally God, Cheryl.
I can't handle it.
Girl, I am exhausted.
I am like a sweaty 13-year-old in gym class right now.
Wow, and I am like a 13-year-old who's eating ice cream, and there's a stranger looking at me, and I'm not sure what to do. And he says he knows my name, but that's because my name is James on the front, and I shouldn't have worn that shirt.
Girl, stranger danger.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I feel like. What a great episode.
Really good episode.
Big thank you. We are our special guys.
Thank you, Ryan Christo. You're still sitting here. Thank you.
Our intern, Shelly Cheryl. You get back in your cage, Cheryl.
James, we had a really good... You know what? Go see Champagne Temple, White in the Temple of Poon.
Aneka gives a stamp of approval.
12 thumbs ups.
Wow, that's a lot of thumbs.
You're going to need a lot of thumbs.
Ooh, she said it. Go see Aneka hang out at Michael's looking at weird things.
Just, you'll see me lost, wandering the halls, touching things, caressing
and saying, what the
fabrics.
Fuck? Saying, what the fuck is this? All right, enjoy your week, y'all.
Oh, don't forget to follow us on Minority Corner with a K.
And spread the word.
Spread the word.
Haven't done so already, write a review.
Write a review on iTunes.
Even if you don't like it.
A lot of people have been asking about new podcasts because they're going on road trips or whatever. You guys should be like, hey, I know this one podcast. Mm-hmm. It's very... We're in that hip stage where you guys are the only people that know about us.
Wait till we blow up.
Wait till you are like the cool person that was like, oh yeah, remember when I referred you to that show?
Yeah, you're welcome. I love you, but I hate you. But I love you.
Get that choreography right.
Yeah, that's right. 5, 6, 7, 8. Have a great week.
Bye.